Welcome to Shut Up and Ride. Just me and Simon today. We've got no Benji because apparently he's very...
Where is he?
I don't know. He just doesn't love us. He does not love us.
Well, no, but to be fair to him, this is his time. This is his time to shine. He's a busy little bee, isn't he, at this time of year?
He is. We've had some messages about that, actually, but we need to discuss it with him. Because apparently one of his shows went disastrously wrong and he had to sort it out. And someone sent message saying they were really impressed with how Ben dealt with it. But I feel like we can't really talk about it because he's not here. But I love the fact that someone was like, he didn't cover that shit up. He properly messed up. But
he owned it.
But he dealt with it. He owned it. Yeah, man.
To be fair, I wouldn't expect anything less of him, really, than to own it and, you know.
No.
Kind
exactly.
of admit his mistakes or admit his errors and then do better.
So, welcome to the podcast, everybody. If you are new to the podcast, what's going on with my hair? I don't know. We're going to be starting putting this on YouTube. Might have to look better.
If you're new to the podcast, thank you so much for joining us. That's absolutely amazing. And please tell all your friends.
Yes, please like, share, follow, all of that. Yes, please do. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. Go back and listen to a few. Ben's in this as well. We're very funny, I think. But also, we cover lots of
You're very subject. Funny.
But also, we are sponsored by Charles Owen, who we love, who we adore, who make amazing hats to protect your head, and is very exciting because they're coming on tour with us, and they are just wonderful. So please go and follow Charles Owen as well, and even better, go and buy a hat and say you heard it on the podcast. Thanks. Right. Simon, we have done a Q&A on Instagram, so we're going to get to that in a minute and read out some questions.
No, I'm quite excited about that.
Topics last week. I want to start by reaching out to all the amazing women who've been reaching out to me because I felt like a bit of a, to use a Dawn French phrase, a bit of a twat at crying and sharing my hormonal stresses with you guys. But lots of women have reached out saying they've played it to their husband because apparently I was describing how they were feeling, and lots of women telling me how they're feeling. And the irony is that I was having no time to do anything and then had to spend lots of time answering messages. But I loved having the messages. I just felt very sad that so many women are going through the same thing. So please do message, talk to each other. But yes, I don't know if you've had any messages, Simon, about the podcast last week. Because we did cover quite a few controversial topics, but we've had lots of messages.
Yeah, I've had a couple of messages actually about what you spoke about too, about how helpful it's been. So yeah, it's a great thing, and I thought you were very brave talking about that.
I don't know about brave.
It's brave to talk about brave. Something like that. It's so personal. That's such a personal thing, and you know, it's still a bit of a taboo subject to talk about, isn't it? And so I think that was very brave of you.
Yeah, it is amazing how many people are going through it as well. So we are going to endeavour to find someone who is more qualified than I and less ranty than I, hopefully.
And definitely more qualified than me.
I don't know. You were pretty... You and Ben. Oh, everyone was like, oh, Ben and Simon dealt with it so well. They're so nice. I was like, they're not always that nice. But yes, they were in that moment.
We are always that nice.
We also, before I forget, spoke about the Heath Ryan whipping incident, which again, lots of messages about. And someone messaged, I'm not going to name names or go into too many details because obviously it's all kind of he said, she said, but someone messaged to say they'd actually been to the yard, worked on the yard, and his wife loved horses more than anything. And they were like, she was very sad that this had happened and that she knows how much the horses are adored at his place. And also that the indoor, because we were saying all these things always happen undercover, but his indoor doesn't have sides. It's actually open in like some of the sides and actually quite open. So, which is great because it's good to hear that it's not all like this at his place. But I just wish someone from his team would come on social media and or come to us or share this information that it doesn't have to come kind of secondhand from someone.
Yeah.
But I mean,
assuming that basically they're scared of making it worse. I mean, it can't be any worse. But
no.
I'm assuming that's probably what they're thinking. And also, they don't want to be associated with it, do they, either?
Yeah. So there's two sides to every story. We're never saying that we know everything. So if they, again, it's always open to come and say what it is like at their yard and all of these things and how, and more information, I think, is always needed around these incidents. But it just doesn't seem to come. It's kind of like, this happened, you're an awful person, and let's chase you with pitchforks down the road, rather than let's learn, educate, and find out everything.
Yep.
Well, anyway, how is Simon? Because you've been winning winner, winner, chicken dinner. Tell me everything.
Yeah, I won again. So actually, somebody commented on that. They said, when Simon said he was the fastest and he's the only one inside the time, they laughed or something. I was like, oh, thanks, mate. Because actually, I did it again. I was the fastest of the day at Upton House and I won there. So that was pretty cool. I was really chuffed with that.
What did you win this time, Simon?
Oh, God, I don't know. 200 and something pounds.
So is this the start of a new faster Simi? Faster?
No, don't be silly. I'm still going to get my money's worth. Although it was really easy and it was really good. It was really good. I think, to be fair, I think I'm probably a little bit braver than maybe I give myself credit for sometimes. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of going fast, but I can do it.
Exactly. We're also getting old, Simon. Can't go that fast.
I know. We're getting old. Old and crusty.
We can't all be like Ben.
Young forever. Although he is young anyway, isn't he?
He is very young. What is he? He's 30-something. Is he 30-something? That's so bad that we don't know how old Ben is. He just seems to go all over the country, standing on horses, trying not to fall off. That is basically a summary of what Ben does for a living.
And then I see videos and pictures of, people that work with him galloping along upside down, galloping like kind of dangling down the side of a horse.
Yes, exactly.
It's pretty impressive stuff, isn't it? Slightly scary, but pretty impressive.
Would you have a go at it if he, we're going on tour. I hope everyone
Galloping along upside down?
Yes.
I mean, knowing me, I'd probably dislocate my shoulder or something.
You would hurt yourself. It might be a bit fast for you, Simi.
Well, no, because my shoulders pop out all the time anyway. So, yeah, that's kind of like, that would be my biggest concern.
Losing your shoulder, like in a bad shoulder. Because
I've told you about that, haven't I? When I had surgery on my left shoulder, before the surgery, it just used to just come out, like just come out. I went to an event, went to Chatsworth, and I had three horses in the four star there. And I was running a little bit late. I went and rode a horse, kind of like to prepare it for his fitness dressage in my like normal clothes. Then I went back to the lorry, and then I think it was Amanda was there with me, like start getting the horse kind of ready and looking really smart. And I ran into the lorry to go and get changed, and I took my jumper off too fast, and my shoulder popped out.
Oh!
So then, and then because at that point, the reason I had to have surgery is because there was like a hook on it. So when it came out, there's no way you're going to get it back in. And we didn't realize that at the time. So like we tried to get it back in and it was absolute agony. And then my dad took me to, who never comes to an event, it just happens he was there then, took me to A&E and they had to knock me out to put it back in. And then they wouldn't let me ride.
That's not very international velvet, is it? If it was international
velvet. No, it wasn't
international
velvet. I was like, oh, yeah, it's back in. I'm all good to go. And they're like, nah, sorry, you've had all those drugs, so you can't.
Oh, no, in international velvet, they'd have literally put a towel around you, held it in, and you'd have ridden for gold at the Olympics.
Such a great movie, isn't it?
Oh, my God, I love that film. Okay, literally love that film so much.
What's her name? What's her name? Oh, Tatum O'Neill.
Yes.
The actress.
Yes.
What? It's like, this is really random. I was looking her up the other day. Like, I saw something about her somewhere and I read about her. She's had a really rubbish life ever since, hasn't she?
Oh, I don't know. Why? What happened to her?
I can't remember. This is really bad. I've just said, she had a really terrible life afterwards. I can't remember what actually happened to her.
Yeah, but, podcast gold right here. Thanks for listening, guys. Anyone who has tuned into this podcast for the first time is going, what the holy fuck is this about?
Why the hell has he just said that when he has no information? I have no information, but I just know that she's had a bit of a rubbish old life.
Okay, well, we'll find out for next time.
I think she's had drug problems and stuff.
Oh, that's sad. In my head, she is like touring the world, giving lectures on her gold medal winning days. And married to a German. Was it a German she married? in the film?
Yes. Yes, he was really good looking, wasn't he?
Yeah, blonde hair.
Oh, and then when they had to shoot the horse on the plane. Oh, that's terrible. That was really bad.
I didn't like it as well when she's galloping across the countryside and the boys are chasing her in the car.
Yeah, awful.
It really freaked me out. And all I kept thinking is that poor horse.
You know who the stunt actress was for that, don't you?
No.
Ginny Elliott. Ginny Lang.
Oh, my God. Legend.
Yeah, legend. We should get her on here.
All right, you've got her number.
I think she'd be so interesting.
Oh, my God, she's my hero. My first ever badminton, I remember watching her come through the sunken road on Wilton Houdini, and it was just literally one of the greatest moments of my life.
So, was that when she won?
Can't remember. I don't have your 90s knowledge of eventing.
Was it really wet?
I think it might have been.
Like, chucking it down. Ginny did badminton in 1992 with Wilton Houdini, and he fell the Fairbanks drop, but she did complete, and then she got back on and finished. I think, yeah, no, she did, and then he won in 1993.
It would have been 93 because I was there then, and just before I turned 13, so I would have turned 13 in the October.
Was that when it had like a palisade, bounced down into the sunken road, one stride, that jump up, bounce, and then over another palisade?
Yes.
Yes, 93.
Okay. Eventing, great. Let's get her on. I know you don't have much time, so I'm going to push us on. I've got one thing to tell us that is a funny story. So I hike. I've already told you this, but I'm going to share it again for the listeners because I said I would give them a shout out. I went for a hike on Saturday in the middle of nowhere in Canada, there's a big long hike. It's like 900 and something meters high. And you can take a gondola up to the peak of this mountain, but I hike it with my son and my neighbor, Scott. And we're in the queue to get the gondola back down. And we get up there before all the tourists get there and you get a coffee and stuff. And then we go back down. And I'm not joking, Simon, when I say I am sweaty. I've just hiked up vertical mountain. I smell, I'm covered in mud. I'm not pleasant to be around.
She's looking amazing.
Oh God, I don't think I've ever looked worse, to be completely honest. My hair is due. I was like, I'm getting my roots done the next day. And this lady comes up and she's like, hi. I was like, oh, hi. I immediately think I'm in trouble. I've lost a child. I've done something wrong. I'm like, oh fuck, what have I done? What have I left? Who have I forgotten? Like, what have I spilt? Have I picked up your phone by accident? She's like, oh, I just wanted to say how much I love the podcast. And I was like, oh, I just wasn't expecting it. So I must have just looked completely confused. And then my Canadian friend, Scott, who he very politely often asks me when we're on hikes together, oh, how's the podcast going? But I don't think he realizes that people listen to it. And he has absolutely no idea about horses or what I do. And genuinely, I think he thinks it's just like a little thing we're doing and that I just basically talk to no one. And he literally shrieked, do you know who she is? At this poor woman, like got right up in her grid and was like, what? You know who she is? You listen to her stuff. And this lovely lady was like, yes, I like the podcast. He could not fucking believe it. It was absolute bloody gold. I was like, thank you, God. This is hilarious. Anyway, I said to this lady, she's called Grace. Thank you very much. And then she tagged us on social media later. So Grace, that was absolute genius in the middle of nowhere, making my neighbor realize that what I actually do and what we do is actually listen to people. So thank you, Grace.
And I would say probably made your month.
Well, at least made my week. I say month. I'd say.
Jenny's famous.
I'm not famous. I think you are famous and Ben is famous. Let's be honest. But who is, I think Ben is the most famous out of us. Oh no, you are probably. Famous.
I'd have said Ben is the most famous.
Would you? I did. Yeah.
And that, to be fair, you'd be right up there because, like, people know you from, you know, Rudel's Roundup and all that kind of stuff.
What's really embarrassing now is I speak to people and they're like, I used to watch you when I was a kid. And they're in their 20s. Oh, fuck off.
Oh, I wish I could say that to you, but I can't.
You're only a year younger than me, Simon, or 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You're 43 now.
I can pretend. Maybe.
So, yeah, you're less than a year younger than me. So poke off, Simon Grieve. You with your perfect hair. Just because you've got so much hair, no one knows how old you are.
It's definitely not perfect hair right now. It's crazy. It's wild. You know,
we're both looking very dishevelled.
I'm about to go to I'm going to Bergen horse trials tomorrow, and I was thinking, oh, I need to fit in getting a haircut before I go, otherwise it's going to be wild and crazy and uncontrollable, and I haven't been.
And then you can
so it's going to be wild and crazy and uncontrollable.
Or a you hat. Wear a hat. A Charles Owen hat.
I could wear a Charles Owen hat. I could just let it all hang out.
Well, let's hope we're talking about your hair after last week's podcast, where we ended up talking about something else that hangs out.
We're not going back there again. I did say to my mum, I'm really sorry. She said yes. She did listen. She sent me a message going, I've just listened to the latest podcast. ... And then lots of kisses afterwards. So I was like, oh good. Oh, at least she's okay about it, hopefully.
Oh my god. Can I tell you another story about my friend Scott, who I go hiking with?
Yeah, go on.
This is fucking genius. So he occasionally fosters dogs before they get put for adoption. And the last few have been like puppies. And I get back from, I've been watching humpbacks down in the water near us. There was humpbacks.
Wow.
Oh my God, it was amazing. Oh my God, I just sat there. They were so close to me, Simon, I cannot tell you. And they were like diving out the water. And it was unreal. It was literally unreal. So I drove back like in my own little world, having had this mad
swimming with them.
I don't think they're so big. I think I'd be too scared. Like, they're so big. They're so big. Like, they were coming out of the water. They do this thing called lunge feeding when they throw themselves out of the water. And, like, they were so high. I was so close to them, I was having to look up. Like,
wow.
And they're two of them, and they do it at exactly the same time. Oh, it was amazing. I sat there for hours.
On the show.
So, anyway, I'd had, like, this kind of surreal experience. I was driving back in my car. And we live in like this townhome area, and some of the townhomes have balconies on the very top in their roof. So anyway, Scott comes running out and he's like, can you help me? And of course, me being obnoxious was like, no, fuck off. And he was like, Jenny, I'm actually being serious. There's a dog on the roof.
I was like, what? On the roof?
Yeah. And at this point, I didn't think Scott had a dog. And he was like, I was like, what? And I thought there was going to be some kind of punchline. And he was like, no, I'm fostering a dog and it's got on the roof. I was like, what the? Am I on something? You're allowed to smoke things in this country. I was like, are you smoking something? He was like, no, you need to come and help. So anyway, in my head, as we ran through his garage to then get up into his house and onto the roof, he was grabbing a ladder. I was like, grab dog treats then. So we get up onto his roof on the top of his house, and I'm there going, right, thinking it's going to be a puppy. A puppy has climbed up out of his balcony onto the roof. How, I don't know.
Because was it a Great Dane?
It's really difficult. So I'm expecting this puppy. And I was like, what's he called? And he's like, he's called Carl. I'm like, okay, fine. So I start calling Carl, Carl. And I'm climbing onto this roof, risking life for something I've never met. Carl. Then Scott goes, oh, but he doesn't know his name yet. Oh, good. That's helpful.
Like, come on, doggy.
Right. So, and then like Carl appears from the, because the roof is in like a apex from the other side. Like a bloody Game of Thrones White Walker. This dog is enormous. It's like some kind of husky cross. And it's got those freaky ass white blue eyes.
Oh no, that's really beautiful.
They are beautiful, but not when you're a couple of meters up.
Not when you're face to face with it on top of a roof.
I don't know if Carl's friendly. Carl's enormous. I'm shouting Carl. And then I hold the ladder. Scott climbs onto the roof trying to grab Carl. And then Scott turns around to me and I was like, oh, Scott, I've never seen you wearing glasses before. Glasses on. Not a conversation for now, Jenny. Then he turns to me and he goes, he climbed on the roof, but I can't even get him in the bloody boot. How are we having this conversation?
I'm thinking that Carl rules the roost a little bit.
Oh my God, Carl's amazing. So end of the story was that we managed to grab Carl and get Carl onto the roof. Off the roof, onto the balcony, and back downstairs. Carl's an absolute legend of a dog, but I've never been so scared. But also, you know, when you're really frightened because you're high up, and you think you're going to die or get bitten. But at the same time, it's really funny. So then you can't really do anything. So yes, I'll have to put on Instagram after the podcast goes out a picture of Carl, because it was just one of the most surreal experiences of my life. I was like, I have to tell someone this. I had to rescue a dog called Carl off a roof.
I know. I'll tell the podcast.
Yay! So welcome to the pod, anyone new. This is what we talk about. So yes, that was my Carl story.
Cute.
Thanks a lot. Right. Shall we do, has anything else happened to you before I do a Q&A?
Oh my goodness. Lots of stuff's happened, but no, I don't think anything particularly exciting. Just like a standard time week. I am intrigued to know what's annoyed you this week.
A few things.
Standard.
Fuck off. What has annoyed me this week?
Simon, Ben.
You two not answering the messages.
Gregor.
Pretty stressful. Gregor did annoy me. But I don't think I should air our dirty laundry on this podcast again.
No. Delilah?
No. Again, James. Kids. It is kid-related.
Okay. Right. But they haven't annoyed you.
If you're a parent, you'll get this. If you're not a parent but going to be, you'll get this. If you just want to try and save the planet, you'll get this. Kids' parties, right? Hate them. If they don't have an invitation saying, adults, bring a bottle on it, my kids aren't allowed to go. Flat rule. Sadly, this party was outside our house and the kids live a few doors down, so I kind of had to. Goodie bags full of plastic useless shit that your children will use for all of 10 seconds or spill the bubbles out of the fucking bubble thing or squish the cake or they'll give lollipops that are going to rot their teeth. I just don't understand why kids have to have goodie bags at parties.
But I loved a goodie bag when I was little.
I don't think there was that much plastic shit going around back then.
No, probably not. But you did have, you could blow bubbles.
Yeah, it was always bubbles, wasn't it? But now, my kid's got two little tiny rubber ducks in this one and two little tiny water pistols that don't work. All plastic.
Yeah, that's pointless.
I know. I don't do that. I get like art things that they can actually make.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would you put in your party bags then?
So last time they got like painting stuff so they could actually like sticker stuff, like, sounds like plastic crap, but it isn't. It's like these, like they get a big sheet of paper, and then there's numbers on it, and then the stickers go on the numbers. So it takes them hours, and it costs a bit more for one item, but it's like entertainment for the kids for ages. And then I've done things like, because everyone's got paints at home, like these things where you make sun catchers in the windows. So whereas most things in the party bag are all like $1 each or $1 each, and you get loads of them. I'll spend like $5 to $10 per kid from Hobbycraft and get them like a ceramic thing they can paint or something, like one big item in each bag. And then obviously some as healthy as I can find sweets because I'm that dickhead mum.
She does call you Kirsty Allsop.
Yes. Location, location, location. but yeah, plastic. It's just really annoying. It just seems never ending at school and stuff. So that has annoyed me. Made me angry. Okay. It's not horse related. I should probably have something called. Oh, I know what should have annoyed you. Have you been watching the show Jumping Europeans? Because one of your pet hates happened.
Did it? No, I've not seen it.
So anyone listening, what is your pet hate at the end of a round, Simon?
Oh, that's cross country. That's at the end of a big 3-day event when they just throw the reins at them and expect them to just gallop around with no support, having been supported for the last 11 minutes.
But after the last fence?
Yeah.
So it doesn't annoy you in show jumping?
No, nothing like as much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was quite a lot.
It's because like the horses are tired and they need your support at the end. Like that's the time when they need your support most. And that's when injuries happen.
Yeah, when they just throw the reins and go over the finish line with the like.
Yeah, when the horses work really hard for you and is probably very tired.
Oh, okay.
Show jumping is a bit different.
I always think it's quite ballsy when people are celebrating before they've landed from the last fence because you still got to get over that timer.
Oh, yeah, did I see that? I think I did see a clip of that. Like the guy was like he was in midair over the last fence and he started celebrating. I was like, whoa, if I did that, I'd have it down behind.
Also, you can peck on landing, surely.
Well,
you can still trip before you go through the
timer.
You've
still got to get through that finish flag.
Exactly. But did you see, obviously, congratulations to Team GB for the show jumpers, silver. But did you see what happened to Scott Brash with Folly?
Yes. Well, when you dropped the reins.
Take me through that from a professional's point of view, because...
I mean, I didn't quite know what he was doing.
No.
Like, what happened? Like,
in
that was really bizarre.
Someone said, what went through your head? And he went, oh, shit.
The horse was amazing though, wasn't it? Like, it was proper on a proper like misser, like with no reins, and it was just like, I think I'm supposed to jump this, so I just went through and jumped it. And I mean, he sat amazingly as well, and didn't, well, I'm sure he did panic, but he like didn't appear to. It was really like amazing stuff.
Yeah, if anyone's not seen it, go and check out World of Show Jumping is showing it. Clip My Horse, everyone's showing it. So if you're on social media, I'm sure it's come up. But he comes round. It looked like a bit of a boxy kind of left, right turn to a triple combination. He wasn't even at a fence and he lost his reins. He turns. The horse is basically under the fence. He has no reins. He holds his balance and he kicks through an almost impossible.
And the horse turned itself inside out to clear, go through there. Unbelievable.
Would you say that was more of a mare trait like that, to dig deep? If you get a good mare, they always say they'll dig deep for you.
I mean, I don't want to be sexist or anything like that. So, you know, I can't go there.
You don't ride many mares. On in real life.
Oh, I've ridden loads of mares over. Jenny Rudel, you're terrible. I've not ridden very many mares, no.
No, you know.
But I've competed quite a few.
Many mares with four legs, it seems, at the moment.
Oh, no. I think we're all a bit tired.
Oh, my God. We need Ben. Ben.
Hell, no. He'd be like sticking his two pennies worth in with that one.
Yeah, he definitely would. Right. Are you ready for Instagram questions?
Yeah, go for it.
So someone, Nicole Brown, has suggested. Nicole is a very wonderful commentator for eventing and lots of other stuff, and TV presenter. And she has said, can we send you shag, marry, kills? And my wonderful friend, Kate Tarrant, who has featured on this podcast lots of times, one of my best mates, has suggested Austin, Jay and Carl. Or shag, marry, kill.
Oh no. Are we going for shag first?
Shag, Austin, Jay, or Carl? Come on.
Austin.
Only one of those would be interested in me, so I'm gonna have to shag Austin.
I reckon Austin would be wild.
You think Austin what?
I reckon he'd be wild.
You think he'd be wild? Well, should we message his lovely wife, who is super hot, by the way? Austin's wife is really hot.
She is. She's fitty.
She is fitty, and she's just a wonderful human. We love her. So you want to shag Austin, or Jay, or Carl?
No, Austin.
Okay, so you're shagging Austin. Who do you want to kill, Jay or Carl?
Oh God, I don't kill anybody. What's the other option?
It's just shag, marry, kill. That seems a bit aggressive. I thought it was shag, marry, avoid.
Yeah,
aggressive.
I mean, I don't think we want to kill anyone, Jenny, do we? Let's be honest.
No. Let's say avoid.
I think, I mean, I'd quite like to marry Carl because he's a lovely man and he's got a very nice home and he's very homely. And, you know, he'd be a good person to be married to, I reckon.
He also, I've seen his champagne stash. So, yeah.
Yeah, so all the more reason. But to be fair, Jay, he'd be great to get married to because he's great fun and you'd have a real laugh all the time with him. It'd be a laugh a minute, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot of fun, but he's always busy. He's never at home. He's always away at shows. He'd be lonely.
Yeah, so does that mean you're going to kill him?
In the nicest possible way. I'd do it like, I'd get him drunk first.
In the nicest possible way, yes, I'm going to kill him.
Well, that's hard though. I love you, Jay Tiger Hallam, but I don't know if I could be married to you.
Would you shag him?
He's a good looking boy.
He is.
But I think my heart, I'd just want Carl Hester.
What, you want to shag Carl Hester?
Yeah, well, I did once upon a time.
So basically, it's just Carl to all of those.
Apart from the.
Oh, no, you don't want to kill him.
I don't want to kill him.
No.
Nah, it's a tough one.
So, okay, so out of Austin and Jay, who would you rather kill?
I know Jay better than Austin, so it might have to be Austin.
Yeah.
I've known Jay a long time, so I'm sorry, Austin.
Yeah, process of elimination there. Well done.
Well, how are you getting out of this? You've got to answer it as well.
No, I've said mine, haven't I? It was shag Austin, marry Carl, and dispatch Jay.
I love it. Kate Tarrant, where the hell did you come up with that? Questions. There is loads of them. Oh my goodness, see all. Jesus, lots of people. I love this. Someone's just sent a picture of their corgi. That's not a question. It's just a corgi.
Jenny hates that. She's putting a face.
Excellent work. Well done. Well done. I'm going to send her a clapping. Right, Simon, from Claire. Most embarrassing horsey fail.
Most embarrassing horsey fail. Well, we've done this before, haven't we? I talked about my leaving the arena at Little Downham, didn't I?
Oh, go on, share it again because it's so bloody funny.
I was doing a dressage test on Mini-Me, who was slightly psychotic. And I went on centre line, did my halt salute, and then I turned left and I went to do a leg yield from the outside track to the centre line. And she said, I don't want to do that. And I was like, yeah, no, you do. And she's like, no, I don't. And she stood up and she launched and she reared her way out of the arena and then across everyone else's arenas. Which was really embarrassing. And then I did go back and I finished the dressage test and then the judge got out of the car and she said, you do realise that you are eliminated, don't you? And I was like, yes, but not the point. I want to finish it. And then I got in Horse and Hound that week, so because it was it said Piggy March won her section on whatever it was, despite Simon Grieve and Mini Me galloping through their arena. And I was like, why do they have to name me? That's really mean. But I think I have told that one before, so I'm really sorry, anybody, if you've heard that one already.
Oh, excellent!
It was quite a fail.
That is brilliant. I just love the fact that Piggy won despite Simon Grieve galloping through.
Despite Simon Grieve trying his absolute level best. I've also been Piggy March in Horse and Hound once. There was a photo of me, but like my head was behind the horse's mane, and it said Piggy March winning the AI at Great Witching Hill or whatever it was. And I was like, I think you'll find that's actually me.
They're just determined not to report anything good on you.
Simon Grieve is rubbish.
We just can't believe that he would ever go fast enough, so therefore it didn't happen.
Yeah, definitely not possible.
Horden Horses, who we have mentioned on here before, has written, Simon, how many inches? Excellent.
I was just about to say this is a family programme, but it's not.
I think that's taking a step too far. Step too far.
12.
Let's go for a sensible one. Simon, how many horses do you ride a week?
Jenny ignored that.
Yeah. What did you say?
No, nothing. I said 12 because that's kind of...
12?
Stupid, but realistic at the same time.
It can't be 12. What's the biggest one in the world?
Why not? What is the biggest in the world?
I'm going to Google it. This is going to really bugger up my history. My browser history. How big is the biggest
living
penis in
living
inches, being specific? Oh! The longest penis on record is 18.9 inches.
Wow.
This is measured when erect. Are we allowed to say that on the podcast? He also holds the records for the thickest with a circumference of 10 inches.
I mean, who was this person? That's like a disability, isn't it?
It's got to be, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a disability.
I've got to clear my history now. That's just taken my... Right, anyway...
There's no clearing that, mate. It's there forever.
Simon, how many horses do you ride in a day?
It depends on the day, but like kind of on average, probably say eight.
Eight? That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
How long do you spend on each horse then?
It is a lot. It depends on what they're doing and how well they're going and all that kind of stuff. I do think eight is probably, it's definitely the max because... I've back in the day, I used to like ride more, a lot more than that. But I just feel like you kind of, you end up.
Sorry, someone just sent a message that's made me laugh.
I feel like I, when you get to like number eight, then you're not in it anymore. Like, as however focused you are, like, you know, that's a lot of riding. That's a lot of focus to be doing if you're schooling anyway. Anyway, what's the funny?
Someone said, does Simon own any clothes that aren't Megan Elphick ponies merch? I think you do wear a t-shirt quite a lot. It's a good
well,
t-shirt.
I did a TikTok the other day and I was wearing it. And then that afternoon I taught Meg and Demir and Harlow Luna White and I was wearing the same thing because it was the same day. So like, so several different things have gone out and I'm wearing that t-shirt. So like, yeah, it does look like I'm wearing it all the time.
Or you just don't wash ever.
Just never wash.
And you've only got one of the t-shirts, so it shows how much use you get out of it. Yeah. Shows it's good bargain for your buck for Megan
it's a really nice tee.
I know, I like the symbol on it. I think that's very clever. Did she make that up herself?
I think she did.
That's very good. It's very good.
She's a clever girl, that one.
Okay, right. We'll do a couple more. They've got to be good ones. Least favourite horsey chore? That's actually quite a good question, that.
I really hate putting studs in.
You hate putting studs in? Yeah. I thought Gregor to do it, but he takes so fucking long just doing one foot that it's just not worth it.
Well, it's just a bit of a grim job, isn't it? I mean, it's fine. Like, I don't mind it at all if, like, they've been done the day before and, like, tapped out and plugged and whatever. It's really easy then. But, like, if you get to a show and they're not, oh, mission and a half, that is.
Yeah. This is from expat painted equine. So I wonder what theirs is. Least favourite horsey chore. I don't mind cleaning tack as long as I've got hot water. I actually quite enjoy it. But when I've not got hot water and your hands are freezing and you've got...
Well, probably anything else. You can't do a particularly good job without warm water.
No. But I don't mind most chores. I quite like mucking out, poo picking. I'm all right with all of that. But you're
all
like
of that,
level. You don't do anything.
All of that is fine. It's just having the time to do it.
Also, I don't like, you know, when they come in from the field, they've got a slightly long coat and the mud is stuck to their ears and neck, like welded in, and it's dried.
Yeah.
And no amount of curry combing, and it's still, but a little bit wet still. So you can't really curry comb it.
Yeah.
You can't really brush it. You've got to ride them. It's dark. You can't get them clean. That is my least favorite thing. And it's in their ears and they don't want, and it's one that doesn't want you to touch their ears. And it's
I get that.
I don't like that. How much of the chores do you do? Let's be honest.
Me?
Yes.
Not loads at the minute.
I saw a video of Jessica Springsteen, who is a great rider, obviously went to the Olympics. She's a brilliant rider. She's in an advert for some brand. I don't know what it is. And she's tacking up and doing all the stuff and then riding. And she is wearing a crisp white shirt.
Yeah.
A crisp white shirt. I can't wear a fucking crisp white shirt around my own house without getting dirt on it, let alone at the yard.
I reckon I could tack up in a white shirt and be okay. It's doing all the other stuff. Yeah, tacking up's like, that's all right. It's doing everything else, isn't it? It's like putting a bed of shavings in, it's like moving your straw, it's all that kind of stuff. Picking out feet from muddy horses.
But yeah, you can't tack up without the grooming and the picking out of the feet and doing all of that.
Yeah, you can.
Well, if someone else does it for you.
Nah, I think that bit's okay. I think that bit's easy enough. I couldn't do the yard in that kind of stuff. No, and expect to remain clean. It's just not going to happen. But I really enjoyed when COVID happened. It was just me and Maggie because I wasn't allowed to have people on the yard, and so we did the yard together. And I absolutely loved it because I just, because I didn't have anywhere to go, as in because we didn't have any shows to go to, couldn't go anywhere anywhere. So, like, I spent the day doing my riding, doing my trimming, lots of grooming. The horses looked absolutely amazing. And I loved it. I just really enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing with the ponies, like, because I had the time to be able to do it, which was great.
That's the difference, isn't it? Having time. I love the grooming and stuff when I'm not in a rush. When you've only got an hour to ride, groom, tack, wash them down, everything, that's when it's stressful.
Yeah.
I love that. But yeah, like you say, when you've got time. Right. I've got a couple more good ones and then we'll go.
Yeah. I think people seem to think that I don't really do anything, but I'm like, I was at an event the other day and I was doing a tail plait and somebody will pass it. Oh my God, are you, what? Can you do tail plaits? I'm like, yes. I mean, I'm not being funny, but getting to like be able to do this as a career, you don't just suddenly start riding. Like, you have to do everything else first. Like, you have to work and be a groom and like do everything properly, unless you're really privileged.
I just like winding you up. No, you do. You do a lot and you work very hard. I've been on your yard. Right. Several good more questions. Oh my God, we've got so many. If you could do another, where was it? It was down here. Oh yeah, Charlie Clarkey. If you had to compete in a different sport, which sport would you choose?
Oh, as in a different equestrian sport or a different sport?
I think a sport or equestrian. Do both.
Is this something that we think that we might be able to do, or is this just we wish that we could do it?
Yeah, I think if you're going to start your life again and you're going to be a professional in a different... I think you're overthinking this, Simon.
I'd love to be a good tennis player.
Oh, would you? I would like to be a tennis player. I don't think I'd have the mental strength.
I just think it's a really cool sport and they earn shed loads of money.
Yeah, I like that. I genuinely believe, whether misguided or not, if the opportunities that women have now had been around when I was younger, this is going to sound a bit weird, but I genuinely think... Oh, mate,
you're making it sound like you're 100 years old.
I am. I think I would have been a cricket player.
That would have been quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I love cricket. I love playing it. We weren't allowed to play it at school. We were given no opportunity to play it. I used to play it with my brothers. I'm really good at throwing. I'm really good at batting. I absolutely love it. I've watched all of the England-India tests. I'm obsessed by cricket. And I think given the... I used to be in the boys' cricket club at university. There wasn't a girls' cricket club. And I used to do the scoring for them and I used to do slips practice and I used to go to their practices and bowl them and stuff like this and bat with them. But yeah, absolutely loved it. I used to date an England cricketer once upon a time.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I'm obsessed with cricket. And I think had my life, it been open to me from a young age, like... But yeah, I genuinely think had cricket been open to me, I would have had a bloody good bash at being a cricketer. But we weren't allowed to play football, cricket, anything like that. I get quite emotional watching the Lionesses play as well. Like, I think it's amazing.
Because
now.
You feel like you would have liked to be able to do that yourself.
Yeah. I love the fact that it's not even a question for Delilah that girls play football, whereas it just didn't happen. And it is amazing, isn't it, how times have changed.
Anyway. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Random fact. It is funny though, because whenever I work with like someone who's an influencer like Meg or Tina, I get loads of followers on my Instagram and then I'll post about cricket and I'll lose loads of followers. Oh, they're like, we did not come here for this. We did not want to know about this. If you could, here's a good, better question for Simon from Horden Horses that doesn't involve your willy. If you could ride any fellow eventer's horse, who would it be and why?
Alive or dead?
Not specified. Go either.
Not specified. My brain always goes to Ginny, having already spoken about Ginny and Master Craftsman. I would have loved to have had a sit on him, see what he's like.
You wanted to sit on what's his name's horse? Tom McEwen's Toledo de Cursa.
He was a cursor. Yeah, I mean, that horse is so lovely.
But not as easy as I think Tom makes it look.
No, he's really tricky, I think, isn't he? From what he said previously about the horse. But he's a gorgeous horse. Really lovely. But yeah, no, I was just like going back. We must get Ginny Lang, Ginny Holgate, Ginny Elliott on the pod if we can, because she'd be so interesting. She was such an amazing horsewoman and so ahead of her time, and her horses were so beautifully trained. I actually put a thing on my story the other day about which was I was cantering along on Henry the grey horse because he's been off for a little bit, and I was like, oh, guess who? And somebody put, oh, is it Murphy himself? And that Ian Stark wrote, but Ginny produced him, produced Murphy. But like, she was pretty spectacular, and I'd love to speak to her. I think she'd be really fascinating.
Well, I think this could be like for the next question, because you look like you've got a bit of a girl crush on her. If you could date an eventer with no consequences, who would it be? And someone's put in brackets, not Tim Jenny from SM Eventing. It would be Tim Price.
Yeah, because Tim's so nice.
But would yours not be Jenny?
Date her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I think I'd probably date Kylie Body. She's so cool. I was with her today, actually. She's just great fun and she's a lovely person. She's really down to earth. She's incredibly talented at lots of different things. I think she's great.
Well, that's a good shout. Mine would have to be Tim Price. I'd have to be.
I thought he was off limits. So
if he was not off limits,
Who would you date woman-wise?
Woman-wise? I'm a big fan of Laura Collett, as everyone knows. She's a good laugh, very good fun. She taught me about the porn star martini. I've thanked her a lot ever since. My drink of choice now. Who would I date? Who is a good laugh? There's quite a few. Like, does it have to be an eventer? Oh, yeah, it probably would have to be an eventer. I don't know. That's a really tricky question. Who would I have a girl crush on? I can't think. I can't get past Tim Price. That's the problem. That is the problem. Right. What's annoyed you this week, Simi?
I don't know whether it was annoying or not. It certainly got me thinking. When I was at Upton House, I was waiting to go cross country in the collecting ring. And there was this young girl, obviously looking very nervous. I think it was in the novice. And she walked over to this, no, this lady walked over to her and went to check her girth. And I didn't really think much of it. And then all of a sudden the girl went, just get off, or something like that. Or just go away, or something like that. And basically it was her mother. And she was being being really rude to her. And I didn't know whether I should be annoyed about it or empathise with it, because she was clearly really nervous. And that's obviously her way of dealing with it. She then went off, and then I went over to the lady and I was like, oh, someone's feeling a bit nervous, aren't they? She said, oh, it's just so embarrassing. I was like, honestly, it's not embarrassing. It happens all the time, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was like, am I annoyed that she's being so rude to my mum? Or am I thinking, oh, she's obviously really nervous? What would you be thinking?
I would be thinking that manners cost us nothing, no matter how nervous you are. Don't be a twat.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, I was teaching Ellie Healy today, who is Finn Healy's sister. And I was talking about that, actually, because we were parked up next to Finn and his mum a couple of years ago now at an event. And we got back in the lorry to go home. And Amanda, who helps me, she said, oh, I was really impressed with that lad who was parked next to us today, because he was so polite to his mum. And they just got on really, really well. And that's quite rare, because very often we'll see kids not being very pleasant to their parents at events. And again, a lot of it is down to being nervous, isn't it? And I said that to Ella. And she said, oh, that's because mum would literally, if we were rude or said something wrong, the horse would go back on the lorry and we'd just go back home. She just wouldn't have it. So yeah, we've been kind of like taught that we always have to be polite and treat her with respect, which is really good. It's important.
Oh, I'm back. I think it is very important. I just don't think it costs very much to be polite and just be nice, no matter if it's your parents. And let's face it, the parents are probably paying the bill.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do get that when you're nervous, you can snap. I've also just realised who I would fancy if it was a female eventer.
Go on then.
Tina Cook.
Oh, she's so lovely, isn't she?
She's the best.
Yeah, no, she's lovely.
She's literally the best.
Good shout. Good shout, like that.
Thank you very much. I was listening to What's Annoyed You this week whilst I was thinking of that, by the way. But no, I agree. I think that would annoy me. But I do kind of think, as long as my kids are polite to people when I'm not around and they're a twat to me, I've done all right. I think that is often the way. If they're rude to other people like that, then that's when you've got to really...
nip that in the bud.
Exactly. Exactly. Right, Simon Grieve. This has been excellent. I know you have to go.
Well, yeah, sorry, because I haven't been home for the last 2 days, and I'm going eventing for the next 5, and I haven't seen James at all, and I won't be seeing him for the next 5 days. So, and he is actually here, and I'm doing this, so I'd like to go and try and spend a bit of time with him.
Aww, he's a lucky man.
Oh, isn't he just? Sometimes I think he probably wouldn't agree.
Right, Benji, we will have you back next time. Thank you for all your questions. Please, please, pretty please, with a cherry on top, like, share this podcast. Thank you for all of your amazing messages. I promise I do read them. If I haven't replied, I will try and reply. Put the 16th or 17th in your diary. We are going on tour. We are going to be selling merchandise. We are going to have so much fun. Silly Prune is coming with us on tour. Becky Moody is hopefully coming to the Bishop Burton. 16th at Stow on the Wold. Unicorn Center, and it's going to be the 17th at Bishop Burton. We're going to make lots of announcements with all the partners and brands who are coming. There's going to be VIP tickets. It's going to be a great laugh, and it's going to be lots of fun. But
it's going to be great.
It's going to be. Can you end on an accent for us? Because I look forward to your accents.
goodness. Jenny Rudel, Sharp and Raid.
That'll do, Simon. That'll do.
That'll do.